This is where they are building the largest nuclear fusion reactor in the world.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me I had to check out this pool.
America on Main Street and at the dinner table is talking about infrastructure when 20 years ago, they didn't even know what that meant.
Today, those towers are an astounding display of wealth, prestige, and engineering firsts.
It's impacting everyday Americans.
I am against the train. The way it's being done right now.
New York City housing is a scam. It is a scam, 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 scam.
The Shard in central London is being officially opened today, and at 310 metres tall, it's Europe's newest and tallest skyscraper.
Hello, I'm Fred Mills.
And this is the world's best construction podcast
by the B1M. Hello, hello. You are listening to your latest episode of the World's Best Construction Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by James Hardy. I'm your host, Fred, and as always, I'm joined by Luke in Essex and Liam down in Sydney, Australia. And I want to start off, guys, by getting your opinion on a little post we put up on our social media channels last week, asking people what the world's best skyscraper is. Now, I've kind of lots of comments on this, and I can kind of tell you roughly from looking at the trends who won. But I want to get your take. Who is your winner from this?
So we've got Empire State, Australia 108, Chrysler Building, Medeca 118, Taipei 101, Burj Khalifa, Shanghai Tower, The Shard. Out of those, I'm saying Chrysler Building, mate. For me.
Oh, that was very quick.
Mm. Yeah. I've got like a ranking in my head. It is tough. I like
the
Shanghai.
What's your ranking? What's your rank?
Chrysler, then maybe Shanghai Tower, then Empire State, then the Shard. And then the others are
no
irrelevant.
No Burj.
No Burj.
Are you kidding? No Burj.
The Burj looks better.
The Shard? Fire out. This is a G up.
What would you
tallest skyscraper in the world? Tallest skyscraper in the world.
Yeah, I know.
You've got the Shard above it.
But it does look like medical equipment, doesn't it? Like the Burj Khalifa looks like medical equipment. You know, it looks better from a bird's eye view than the actual. I don't know. It's not.
Which doctors do you go to? What are they doing to you?
I don't know, mate. These doctors in Essex, like, they're on a different level. What would you put?
Well, I need to remain neutral in this. I'm very much UN in this. But I have to say, when I put this together, there was quite a lot of politics involved. So I was like, I was braced for a lot of feedback. And it's worth saying, this has been, I think, the most engaged social media post we've done in a long time. Hundreds and hundreds of comments. so I was like, oh yeah, we better have one from Australia. That's Australia 108. We better have one from Malaysia. That's Medeca. We better put a London one in, give them the Shard. Taipei 101's in there. Bit of geopolitics for you guys. For me,
geopolitics.
Mate, there's no fence sitting.
There's no what?
There's no fence sitting, mate. You've got to
no
choose
fence
one.
Sitting. Sorry, I'm going to go for.
I was going to flag. I have noticed, and I wasn't going to mention this because I don't think it should be on the list, even though it's a great building. A lot of people kicking off that the walkie-talkie's not in there, which I find very surprising.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well, actually.
So, yeah, in the comments.
A bit weird.
Didn't even cross my mind. I'll tell you what, if you want to do one of these charts with the walkie-talkie on it, then I suggest you go and start your own media company from scratch and spend 10 years building up the scale it is now. Because it ain't happening here, mate. Do you know what? I'm going to go for the Burj Khalifa. Now, obviously, each of these skyscrapers has a story. They all deserve to be on that list. But in terms of the sheer feat of engineering and awe and inspiring people, Burj Khalifa. Tallest building in the world.
After what you just said, yeah, like legacy, inspiring people, engineering, that would be the Empire State Building.
No, it'd be the Chrysler Building.
It'd be Empire, mate. Come on.
You may remember that my design technology A-level was based on the Chrysler Building.
I love the Chrysler Building.
What's your least favorite then?
For me, it's probably Australia 108.
Probably
I'd have that as two on my list.
Oh, what? What? Yeah,
gotta represent New South Wales.
Isn't it in Victoria? It's in Melbourne, mate.
Oh, yeah, it is. Isn't it? Oh, no. What's the Sydney one I'm thinking about? That's a shocker.
Oh, Crown. Oh, Crown Sydney.
No, no, I'm not thinking of Crown. Oh, I can't remember. Oh,
Key Quarter Sour.
Yeah.
I do like it. That's my favourite Australian skyscraper, Key Quarter Sour.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Taipei, did you say you'd put Taipei?
Taipei 101, mate. What a load of dross. I can't stand it. Oh, it just looks awful.
It's dated.
Yeah. And I'm gonna use one of my favourite words, lads. Kitsch. I think it's kitsch.
I think I'm too old to understand it. What does kitsch mean?
It's not a young people saying. It's an old word. Kitsch.
Luke's so highbrow, isn't he? He's like NLV, New London Vernacular from the DLR.
Just, you say lit. You say that's lit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find maybe it's like. Maybe it's Yiddish or something. I've just been using it this whole time, like just assuming everyone knows what I'm talking about. I can't
pull off lit. I'm too old for lit.
Mm.
Mm.
I can use the fire emoji, but I wouldn't actually say the word lit.
Yeah, we can use fire emoji. That was a good social post, though, Fred, mate. That was really good. Nice. What is the general consensus then? Like,
well, the general consensus online, and there's a lot of debates online. Goodness me, we are basically coalescing around the Chrysler Building.
Oh yes, yes. Mm.
Empire State is up there. Burj is up there.
Yeah,
they all got a following. They all got a following.
Shanghai Tower. There's a lot of support in the comments for it.
Yeah,
a lot.
It is an epic building, Shanghai Tower. It's worth saying. I think it's got the highest observation deck in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think Shanghai Tower is underrated, you know. I really do. Underappreciated.
Mm.
And that photo, don't do it justice. Very cool. The top bit's very cool. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you're not seeing that, like, curve, you know.
Well, I wanted a bit of variety, you see. So, yeah, right. But no, I appreciate that. You suggesting that I might have rigged the direction of this by the photos that I chose.
Obviously. You're going to get a call, mate. You're going to get a call from an Asian embassy from a country that, you know, I'm not going to specify, saying, why did you do us dirty like that?
I spent far too long on this, but you guys will be pleased to know this is now a template, so we can do this for anything. What's your favourite DLR station? What's your favourite London skyscraper? You know, all these sorts of things. We can have
Let's do it. Yeah.
The world's our oyster now. Exciting times lie ahead. Anyway, guys, we've got an interesting project coming up for you today. We're talking about the $45 billion mega project that's going to forever change Paris, the epic Grand Paris Express video that came out on the BLM yesterday. We're also talking about Shenzhen's latest skyscraper development, a very nice kind of portside high rise with an epic sky bridge through it. Also, Amsterdam's canyon-inspired new district, which is very cool. As ever, there's going to be lots of debate and discussion, some of your comments and messages from the week. Let's do it. Let's dive in. Let's go. First this week, we are talking about the $45 billion mega project that's going to forever change Paris. This is an epic story that came out on the BNM yesterday. Now, this is an interesting story because actually you'll hear similarities here with many other cities we've talked about recently on the B1M. But basically, right now, Paris has got a bit of a problem because its metro only serves the city's very centre. And that's a real pain if you live out in the suburbs and you're trying to commute in. The average return commute for residents in the Paris area is 68 minutes. And the main culprit of that is that spoked transport system that requires riders to go right into the centre of Paris, even when they're just travelling from one suburb to another. Similar story, as I've just described there, that you'll hear across many other cities we've talked about in recent months, not least Sydney Metro, which we talked about just a couple of days ago on this podcast. Now, the Grand Paris Express, which is a very nicely named infrastructure project, I have to say again, one of the better named infrastructure projects, better than Sydney Metro, which must have taken the square root about 5 minutes to pull up together, but anyway. The Grand Paris Express is out to solve this problem. It is very much like the Elizabeth Line, and the Sydney Metro. It is trying to solve the problem of people living on the outskirts of a city and wanting to come into the centre and travelling between suburbs. The whole thing, I mean, this project's enormous, $45 billion, but the whole thing consists of four new metro lines through and around Greater Paris. The biggest part of that is Line 15, which is this 76-kilometre circular route that's going to connect the southern and eastern suburbs with Saint-Denis in the north and the business district down at La Défense in the west. Now, it's essentially this massive loop that goes around the outskirts of the city. So instead of being able to only travel in and out of the centre, you can now do a loop, journey around the suburbs too. It's like the Circle Line in London, but just a much, much bigger circle, much further out. As ever, as we talked about just a couple of days ago on this podcast, that is going to do the same thing it's doing down in Sydney. So you're going to have boosted regeneration, you're going to have growth in the economy, you're going to have businesses able to access a bigger labour pool. There are some really nice touches here where they're rebuilding stations or they're adding new stations, and they're using those as like catalysts for little local communities to start up new housing, new businesses, new little centres. So it's good. It's an infrastructure project that's trying to solve a big problem. It's going to change people's lives. It's going to boost the economy, but also improve the quality of life in the city and start regenerating some rundown areas. So again, I love a bit of a rail project. I love an underground rail project in the city. And this is like, well, it's one of the biggest metro projects in the world right now. It's epic.
Is it the biggest?
It depends how you measure it, but yes, it is pretty much the biggest right now. The biggest single infrastructure project in Europe, the biggest metro project in the world. $45 billion, yeah. It's huge.
Mm. Wow. We're really on like a metro, like train theme this week, aren't we? I'm here for it.
Yeah. Mm.
Nice really pronunciations as well. Oh, yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing all these key cities around the world upgrading their entire metro systems.
Mm. Yeah, kind of like a response. I think it's a response to partly COVID, but also changing working habits, like, which obviously is brought on by COVID, but people now living outside remote working and not necessarily wanting to travel into the centre all the time, but wanting to go between suburbs. So can we just rewind slightly? Because I was just getting a compliment for my pronunciations, which never happens anywhere.
Yeah.
So I just want to rewind. Just get that nice and clear, Luke. You just say it again for me.
Yeah, no, I said nice pronunciations, mate. Yeah, great. You were like Saint-Denis.
The Saint-Denis.
La Défense. La Défense. Yeah, this is really good. Maybe you got a bit of French in you somewhere, mate.
Doubt it. Don't ask me to go any further than that. I can do those two place names, but anything else I'd be struggling with. So.
That's the La Défense is like the Canary Wharf of Paris, isn't it? It's the financial district. Yeah, they got some cool buildings there.
Yeah, one of the few places though in Paris where you'll actually find some high rise skyscrapers, and they've got that really cool. It's like an arch shaped skyscraper, kind of a take on the Arc de Triomphe at the opposite end of the Champs Elysees. Interesting building.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That I'm like kind of lukewarm on. Yeah, but the others, there are some other towers there that are brilliant. But it's crazy to me that the metro in Paris wasn't as far-reaching as I thought it was. You know, I was always under the impression it was similar to the London Underground, where it kind of goes from east to west, north to south, as far as kind of the city goes, whereas that's kind of not been the case up until the Grand Paris Express, right?
Yeah, and Paris is a much smaller and tighter city than London. I think obviously Greater Paris is big, but Paris is a much smaller city than London overall. So that's naturally the case. But you're right, the metro system is quite localized to the center.
Right.
And like I said, to get from, if you live in one suburb and you want to get to another, it's the same thing. It's the same story in Manhattan. We talked about last year with the Interborough Express they're trying to build over there, reusing an existing rail line. Yeah, if you want to get from parts of Queens to parts of Brooklyn, you sometimes have to go into Manhattan to come out again. It's ridiculous. Same sort of thing in Paris. So if they can get around this, if they can link these suburbs up, it has a huge impact in a number of ways. I mean, sustainable travel, cutting emissions, productivity improvements in the economy, yeah, bigger labor pools, loads and loads of stuff. It's huge. I want to take you guys through some of the key stats, right? Because this the numbers here are insane. As we said, $45 billion construction costs, 68 new stations, 4 new automatic metro lines, expanding 2 existing lines on the network, 3 million passengers transported every day, journey times cut by half an hour. As I said, that 76-kilometer ring around the city's outer suburbs. And an incredible 75% of this network runs underground in 2-lane subway tunnels. So as you guys will know, adding infrastructure like this into an existing thriving city without causing too much chaos is tough and basically requires you to dig underground. What they've got here is several TBMs worming away underneath Paris, about 30 to 40 meters down, missing a lot of infrastructure. But you know, navigating all that centuries of pipework and archaeology and stuff, it's the scale and complexity of this project, and then the impact it's going to have. Like, every dimension of it is huge. We say in the video the project is immense in every sense of that word, and it very much is. This project's huge.
What I find interesting about the whenever we cover TBMs, tunneling, and things like that is whenever we do the section on the TBMs, like the implementation, how they set them up, they're always different. So I noticed in this one, they actually drilled shafts and then lowered the TBM down and then compiled it at the bottom and then started drilling. It's pretty fascinating. I find that every project's different. It's got its own complexities and things like that. But the different techniques of setting up, you know, these 1,100 ton machines in different environments. I don't know. Whenever I see it, I'm like, oh, man, that's really cool.
Yeah. Like, we've explained how TBM works, like, loads on the channel, but I never get tired of it. It's just so fascinating seeing how these things operate. And the concept of that is, like you say, Liam, then being dropped down one shaft and then burrowing away for a few kilometers and then coming out again in a station box that's been built and designed ready for the tunnel to arrive in the exact same spot is just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy impressive. And also bearing in mind that this is a city that already has old tunnels in it. You know, I know this isn't the city center per se, but a lot goes into this, right? It's an ancient city, an ancient area. And, you know, a bit different to Sydney, obviously. Earlier on in the week, we were talking about Sydney, which is still just as impressive. But, mate, yeah, that's a lot of money, $45 billion. My days. How much did the Lizzie line cost in the end, mate?
So I think I know this one in pounds. We ended up spending just shy of £19 billion, which I think in dollars must be 22, 23, maybe 25.
Mate.
I'm trying to do currency conversions on the fly here. But mate. Yeah, this is quite a bit bigger. Yeah, it's huge.
Wow. Do you think they just saw the Lizzie line and just thought, nah. Can't let the Brits have the coolest the coolest metro in the world.
I would never suggest the French were trying to outdo the British any stage. I think there's ways of biting it off, right? Because there's a bigger master plan for London that looks at not just Crossrail, which is now the Elizabeth Line, but Crossrail 2, new tube lines running out to the southeast of the city. What Paris had basically done is gone, right, what do we need? Let's draw it all up. And they've just gone big and decided to build the whole thing. They've just gone, right, let's just build it right now. And I think part of this
Smart.
Might have been, yeah,
Smart.
Part of this was, you know, Paris has wanted the Olympics for a while. Obviously, it's coming back this year. But part of this, I think, was a commitment to showing that they're able to host the Olympics in different parts of the city. But it also fits in with this bigger plan they've got to go green. We talked about it before on the channel, but Paris are really ramping up their sustainability, climate, and green credential stuff, aiming to be 50% green space by 2030. They want to be 50% green space, which is a massively, they've kind of got 9.5% green space. So quite a long way to go there.
Wow. Okay. That's a bit of a difference. I really liked the part of the video where we saw the rendering of all the trees in the city centre. Thought that looked like really, really impressive. But maybe part of me was a bit skeptical how that would actually happen. and if it would actually happen. I don't know. Until I see it, I just think, oh, it looks a little bit like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, you know? until we see it,
It's very idealistic. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that render of the Champs-Élysées in particular looks very clean and sunny, and there's green trees everywhere. And the Champs-Élysées, I have to say, is not always like that. It can be a little bit dirty sometimes. But what they're doing, and it's worth saying, Luke, I think you've rightly kind of recognised it. There is some controversy around this because it's quite a big, bold plan. But you've got Paris's mayor, Anne Hidalgo, who's basically saying she wants to return the roads to the people by taking cars off the streets. So what they're talking about in the Champs-Élysées and other areas is removing car lanes and adding trees and bike lanes, basically reducing the capacity for car travel and weaning people off of that and putting them onto more sustainable travel. Now, the Grand Paris Express, for example, is one of those sustainable mass transit systems. It's going to help remove the need for 150,000 vehicles on the road, helping the city take a massive step towards that carbon footprint, you know. French government overall set itself this massive goal of cutting carbon emissions by 27.6 million tonnes by 2050. Grand Paris Express is a huge part of it, taking that step. So the idea is, if you give people alternative forms of travel, if you make bike routes easier, if you invest in 15-minute cities, if you invest in green space, if you build sustainable mass transit like the Grand Paris Express, there's less need for a car. And if you gradually make driving a car more difficult by, you know, reducing the capacity over time, people will naturally shift to those more sustainable forms of travel. And what that does is reduce the overall level of pollution in your city and help reduce your carbon emissions. So what Paris is doing is really impressive. Lots of other cities are doing a similar thing. I think Paris has probably got one of the boldest plans in the world. But this is what we need to be doing in our cities. We need to be prioritizing people, pedestrian, public space, space for communities, green space. Yeah, we could. There's a double-edged sword here. We can cut carbon emissions and also create better, more enjoyable cities at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, well, to some extent, I agree. I think it would be interesting to get like a stat on how many people in Paris actually own a car in the first place. And then you'd be able to figure out, well, is this commercial? Is it taxis? Because also you've got to remember we're in the midst of like a car sort of revolution at the moment, aren't we? Where cars are going to electric, which regardless of how like electric cars are made right now, in 10 years time, they'll be made differently. Like our phones were 10 years ago were completely different to how they are now. But still, the source of that can change. The source of a traditional like petrol diesel car, that doesn't change. That's still fossil fuel, right? So part of me is like, well, is it cars? Because that's changing at the moment. And by the time this will be done in like 2050, which will probably be pushed back to 2070, will this be a little bit of a moot point? Like, is it?
It's a good question. I understand where the skepticism comes from. I think it is inherently more sustainable to have lots of people traveling together on one mode of transport than one or two people traveling separately in a car. And with electric cars, you still need to generate the electricity to power those cars. Now, there are ways of doing that is renewable and green, which is fantastic. Yeah. I think, you know, what the Biden administration in the US is doing is actually really clever. It's quite a clever approach. They've recognized that getting Americans out of their cars is very difficult. It's a long-standing cultural, you know, very deeply ingrained cultural approach that's reinforced by how many American cities are constructed. Basically, you have to own a car in order to get around.
Yeah.
But what they've done is really encouraged this shift to electric vehicles, and at the same time ignited this kind of green economy where there's huge investment and loads of money to be made in investing in renewable power. So if you can move America onto electric vehicles and make the source of that electricity green and renewable, that's how you bring your carbon emissions down. It's a very clever way of doing it. It's not the ultimate goal. It's not the moon, but you've definitely landed among the stars there with a plan that moves the dial, you know?
Yeah. It's not an Elizabeth line or a Grand Paris Express, you know? Not quite.
It's the bipartisan infrastructure law and the whatever else. There's another bill passed for the green economy stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, you can't do like in and out drive through, you know, on a train. That's the thing. That's what our American cousins will be saying, and I totally get it. And I am pro train. I love me a train. I love me a metro. But yeah, I understand that the infrastructure is just chalk and cheese, isn't it? But
could you have a massive like 100 meter long in and out burger train through where the train pulls up alongside?
Put everyone one in the station. The put one in the station, mate.
No, but I mean, you don't get off the train. You know, you stand on the train, lean out the window, and there's like 100 different clerks on the side taking your order.
Listen. I went to Hammersmith the other day. Got out, and literally in the station, go past the turnstile, there's a Greggs. I thought, wow, this is just majestic. Absolutely sensei. Inside the station. Inside. This is not outside. This ain't on the high street. Inside. Got a steak baked, didn't I? Had to be done.
Good to me. I've never been to Greggs.
Are you winding me up?
I know.
That is the most Surrey thing I've ever heard life. I've never been to Greggs.
We have Greggs. I know what Greggs is. But I've never been to Greggs.
Okay, mate. No comment. No comment. No judgment here, mate.
There you go. Maybe we need to give it a go. Anyway, guys, let us know what you think about this epic new infrastructure project being built under Paris, the incredibly named Grand Paris Express. I love this, and I know I've said it before on this podcast and on the channel, but infrastructure projects like this have such an outsized impact in so many ways. Mm. And for the construction industry to be building something like this under a live city, out of sight, out of mind, but then having a massive impact in so many ways, whether it's carbon, people's lives, journey times, the economy, huge, huge stuff. This is the best of this industry. Go and check out the video. Let us know what you think about it. Get your comments coming in. podcast@theb1m.com. So today's episode is sponsored by James Hardy. External cladding has emerged as a powerful tool for builders, architects and homeowners to transform the appearance and performance of structures. Not only does it offer durability, weather resistance and aesthetic flexibility, more importantly, it ensures that new buildings conform to stringent fire safety requirements. For people seeking longevity and aesthetic appeal, fibre cement cladding is a popular and versatile building material. Now, from the world's number one producer and marketer of fibre cement cladding, the Hardy Architectural Panel by James Hardy makes bringing beautiful designs to life both safe and affordable. With two stunning textures to choose from and the choice of any colour, you can make every project unique. All James Hardy facade products come with a A2 fire rating and are backed by an industry-leading 15-year warranty. Guys, you can learn more down at the link in the podcast description. It is down there, available to click on right now. Do go and check it out. Great company, great people, great products, really nice textures. I think we might have to have a debate on the podcast about what other textures they could add in time. What other textures you would like to see? Maybe like infrastructure, I don't know, infrastructure projects, grey buff or something, I don't know. We'll have a think. But guys, do go and have a look down there in the podcast description for the link. And a massive thanks to James Hardy for sponsoring today's episode. Also in the news this week, we are heading over to China, where a very impressive new skyscraper development with a very nice skybridge has been unveiled. So this is the historic Chinese port, which is called Yantian Old Market Town. Apologies if I've got that wrong. It's basically between Hong Kong and Shenzhen. Really long-standing port. What they've done is kind of invested in this new district to bring it to life, create new housing, green space, while keeping the culture of this historic port and fishing village, which is really impressive. The area is known for its thriving fisheries, its seafood, and a rich history that dates back to the Qing dynasty. So really impressive stuff. The new development is going to include several high-rise towers with residential apartments. There's going to be hotels, a shopping mall, new green space, And along the waterfront pier, there's going to be a floating pool. There's going to be a water theatre. We don't know what a water theatre means. I think it's like tiered seating, and then you can watch shows happening on the water, which is very exciting.
Ah, like SeaWorld.
Like SeaWorld, yes.
Or the Vegas fountains, maybe. I don't know.
Like that, yes. Yeah. Observation decks, fishing platforms, and then the big thing is this huge new sort of skyscraper line that's being built with this 100-meter high sky bridge through the middle of it. It looks a bit like the old Marina Bay Sands Hotel in Singapore. I'll let people be the judge of that. But yeah, what do you guys reckon?
Yeah, looks like Marina Bay Sands Hotel in Singapore. Exactly. As soon as I saw the picture, the renders, I was like, yeah. It looks very similar, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's uncanny. It's uncanny. The design is pretty cool. It is pretty impressive. I like that it's on the waterfront. Yeah. Is this a new thing? Are we going to just put these like tables through skyscrapers now? Like, because they did this somewhere else in China, didn't they? Do you remember?
Yes, in Chongqing, I believe. There's that big...
Yeah. And they did a very, very similar, very similar design there. So,
I mean, on top of this sky bridge, you've got a very fancy pool. I mean, it looks nice. It's a good way of connecting your towers at upper level and breaking up the height a bit as well. I think it does look good. But yeah, it's not people saying in the comments, this is so original, smiley face. someone else saying Safety Evolution. Yes, there's a lot of people acknowledging that it does look a bit like Marina Bay Sands. Someone's saying, hasn't China learned its lesson yet? That just because you build it, they won't always come. Hmm, interesting. Another chap saying, this makes NYC like a dump with the way it invested its waterfronts.
That is not fair. It's not fair
because they do a lot of good stuff in New York, most of all Little Island.
Yeah. Yeah, all of this comes from New York at the end of the day. Like, you know, we're all skyscraper fans and stuff. That's what's saying up top about the Empire State Building, about Chrysler Building. Wasn't it like the royal family from the UAE? They went over to New York and were like, yeah, we need to build a city like this. Like verbatim, isn't that pretty much what happened? Like,
I have no evidence for those allegations.
You've not heard of that. All right.
No, allegedly.
Maybe I dreamt of that. Yeah, this is decent enough project though. It is really impressive. China can build these massive projects, mate, and do them quite well a lot of the time. So watch this with great interest.
I think the context of this we need to talk about a bit, because there's the China skyscraper ban. And I have to say, when you look at this, the renders are presented very nicely. These do look like skyscrapers, and I believe the two in the middle are skyscrapers. But if that sky bridge is at 100 meters, then only those couple of center buildings are actually over the 150 meter threshold. So because this is a bigger development, it's probably got through China's skyscraper limits by you know, ticking the right box, because it's the right size of development, it's the right size of area. There's also this huge real estate market issue in China at the minute, and I would imagine that for developments like this to get the go-aheads, they need to have the right financial backing and have been, you know, well-trailed beforehand, so they know there's the market appetite there for them to actually be bought and sold, because there's a huge backlash happening with the Evergrande stuff at the minute and China overbuilding in recent years.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I was wondering. I saw a few comments on that, mate. So, yeah, I like a bit of the context there.
Yeah. I like this. I think it looks good. I think it's nice to see a fishing village, well, what was a kind of port and an area that's known for its fisheries and local fishing, get a new development like this. It's actually respectful to the heritage. So, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Imagine a fishing village over here and they were like, right, we're going to build a fat off bunch of skyscrapers. Yeah, we're going to down in like Cornwall or something, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to put a table Southend. For them. Southend.
Yeah, the heritage of fish and chips wrapped in some newspaper, you know, a bit of batter.
Yeah. Warm donuts, mate. Yeah.
Mate, you can't beat it. So I'm not knocking it, by the way, guys. You can't beat that. The day out of the fair on the pier, being ripped off on a ride, you know. Fighting seagulls for your chips. What's not to like?
The best, mate. It's the best.
Now we're swinging over to Europe and Amsterdam, where an exciting new district has been unveiled. This is Powerhouse Company, who's won a competition with its plans for the Harmony. They've called this project the Harmony. It's a development led by Zadelhoff, who are the developers. It's going to consist of two main buildings called the Canyon and the Coast. And these are both kind of rock formation inspired, right? So you've got kind of like a rock formation theme, sort of sandstone rock colouring going on, lots of plants on it. The renders look very juicy, I have to say. And in the Canyon building, they've got this indoor five-story canyon passage that's inspired by rock formations that kind of rises up through the middle of the building and creates this entrance feature. I really like that. I think it's really impressive. Does it look exactly like a canyon? Probably not, but I can see where they were going with it.
It doesn't look like a canyon at all. It just looks like a bunch of buildings. Really good buildings, but what a reach. They've got a great marketing team. They've got a great marketing team inspired by canyons. Why? Why is it inspired by canyons? Isn't that canyons?
No, Netherlands. You have to have a design inspiration. It's fine to have a muse.
And a canyon ain't it, mate. I look at that. Look at the development. It's not a canyon. It does look cool, though. It looks fantastic. I'd say I'd take this over what we just talked about in China any day. This looks brilliant.
You got hybrid structures here, by the way. So this is a mixture of concrete and sustainably sourced mass timber. And it's going to be clad in materials that Powerhouse Company say is going to reduce overall CO2 emissions. We don't know what those materials are, so we'll have to remain. Jury's out on that one, but they're going the right way with it, aiming for BREEAM Excellent, I believe. So, yeah, I like this. Nice looking.
Yeah, me too, mate. I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Well impressed by it. It's not a canyon, though, but it looks brilliant.
The way they're bringing nature into the city, I like that. That is good.
Yeah.
Few comments on this one. So again, people saying it looks very nice. They like the greenery. One chap saying it looks exactly the same as a new district you might see proposed in London. Yeah. There is a sort of a similar theme going on with some of these developments at the minute. Mm. Someone saying, I hate the greenwashing. Please stop. Lots of interesting comments on this. One person saying that the Canyon Passage looks like it could have been inspired by the archaeological site of Petra, which is a good shout because it does look like that. If you can't see this right now, the link is down there in the podcast description. But the way they've got that sort of red rock, red canyon sandstone effect, it does look like the Petra site. So yeah.
That for that one little interior shot, I'll give them that. I'll give them that. Yeah,
Luke's not a fan, guys.
I'm a massive fan. I'm a massive fan of the project. The project is delicious. Yeah, and a lot of stuff built in the Netherlands is brilliant, usually. Like, quality is usually there. But it's just the canyon stuff. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Shut up. It's not. It's clearly not. But, yeah, I'm here for it, mate. I'm here for it. Can't wait to see this unfold. Yeah,
it's not like the Iranian fisheries headquarters that basically was like, we've been inspired by a fish. It looks exactly like a fish. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Was that Iranian?
Is it Iranian? No, I don't think it is now. It might be Thailand.
Fred's just generalizing it.
Another country.
No.
huge fish. Huge, I was going to stop talking.
Huge fish building. I'm pretty sure it was in either Thailand or Iran. Not those two countries are the same. Anyway, I'm just going through what was in my head. But yeah, stop talking, Fred.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Heading over to the email inbox. What you got for us this week, Luke?
We got an email from Dean McVeigh, who says 5 stars and one for Luke, but you guys can help me out with this. He goes, hi guys, absolutely love the pod. Can't wait for the Bob the Builder review, which I think we should absolutely do. He goes on to say, I recently watched Dark Waters there, and it blew up my mind, thinking the water contamination, environmental pollution, etc. Do you know of any other movies related to a bit of infrastructure slash engineering like that? Cheers, Dean from Ireland, but currently in Thailand. So there you go, Fred. You were just talking about Thailand, mate. Yes, I'm going to quickly say off the bat, Erin Brockovich, it's similar to Dark Waters, but it's about water contamination and that sort of thing. It might even be a bit better than Dark Waters. Erin Brockovich, have a little mooch on that. Fred, have you got a suggestion?
Erin Brockovich was the one I was going for.
Right.
Because, it's like that similar sort of thing. It's like the importance of infrastructure and how it can affect people's lives. So there's some good sequences in that movie. I mean, you're mentioning it as if people don't know about it, mate. It was like one of the biggest movies ever. Julia Roberts got an Oscar for
it. Well, no, by definition, it wasn't one of the biggest movies ever because it didn't bring in loads of money, did it? It's not like Avatar.
No, but it was it's like it's a respected hit, isn't it? It was a big deal.
I don't know. I never heard of it till I saw it on Netflix, to be fair. But maybe that's because I'm...
It might be a bit young, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe. I mean, it used to be on TV all the time when I was growing up.
Did it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that was a New Zealand
Not
thing.
Lying.
Albert Finney was in it as well. Great actor. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he's a great actor. Happy Paddy's Day as well, because he's writing in from Ireland. But it was Paddy's Day earlier this week, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, it was. You've also, for infrastructure, the Lego movie. A little shout out to the Lego movie.
Surely we can do better than the Lego movie. I
mean, there's the Fast and Furious where they drive a car. I've mentioned it on the poddy before, where they drive a car between skyscrapers in like Abu Dhabi, which is the most outrageous thing ever. But you know that franchise is outrageous, isn't it? So
there's that skyscraper movie with The Rock.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I've never seen. I refuse to watch. Yeah,
it's called Skyscraper, isn't it?
The Towering Inferno, which I think was a movie from the 80s, which is a really tough watch. It's really good though.
And Die Hard.
Yeah, mate. They're just all coming out now.
Goes without saying, Die Hard, mate.
Waterworld
on a skyscraper.
Waterworld, floating city.
Yeah, true.
Great film.
Great film. Yeah, it is a great film. It's a classic.
What does he mean, 5 stars and 1 for Luke? Does he mean that me and Liam are 5 stars and you are 1 star, Luke?
Maybe, yeah.
What does he mean that we're 5 stars and he'd give an extra 1 to Luke because he's so great?
Yeah, maybe, because I'm the special boy. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
An extra
appreciate
house point.
That, Dean. Yeah, cheers, Dean. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. Hope you enjoy Thailand, mate. Let us know if there's a big fish-shaped building there or not, if I'm mistaken. Let us know. Guys, we love your comments and emails, so please do get your comments and reviews coming in on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, just want to shout out our Get Construction Talking campaign, our mental health awareness campaign in construction. We've got a new event, so our latest event happening in London on the 18th of April. We've got some fantastic speakers there. Make sure you come down. Registration link for that is on the website and across our social media channels. You can also donate to help us move the dial on construction's mental health crisis. You can donate as little as a fiver using Apple Pay. It's very easy and straightforward. The link is getconstructiontalking.org/donate. We'd really appreciate that. Thanks for listening today, guys. We've really loved you having you here. Don't forget, you can learn more about James Hardy's Hardy Architectural Panel at the link down there in the podcast description. Huge thanks to James Hardy for sponsoring today's episode. Stay tuned, keep your comments coming in, and we'll see you next week.
Nice, mate. Nice.
I was ropey yesterday, so I'm feeling I'm determined today to do better.
Yeah, good. Oh, what's the laugh?
I can't put that great. You've got to put that at the end.
Yeah, I will.